Hi guys, and welcome to Health Tech Matters. Today our guest is Liam Carter-Hawkins, ex-lead product designer at Babylon Health. Welcome to the second part of our conversation, including fast-fire questions. Stay tuned! So, as a product designer, do you have a personal roadmap?
So, broadly speaking, I'm very interested to learn how to lead teams in such a way that I found works quite well for me, which is to focus not on goals, but to focus on habits and routines. And there's a really good quote from the Dilbert creator, Scott Adams, and he said, "Losers have goals and winners have systems." And that really resonated with me because I'll give you an example of the British Olympic cycling team. And I might get this wrong, so no one quote me on it. But in broad strokes, I think the British cycling team was, you know, pretty dismal, pretty poor. And in the run-up to a particular Olympic event, they had a coach that said, "We're not going to, you know, make any drastic changes. We're just going to focus on improving 1% each you know, day, each week, each month, whatever." And to do this, they would, you know, change the clothing they had. I think I remember they got better bedding for their beds, just so it would improve their sleep. Very, very minor increments. And as you can probably tell, 1% today, 1% tomorrow soon adds up to, you know, compound, exponentially better results in the future. And then they went on to win gold in the Olympics. And in this technologically complex world, and this world, tech world, which is driven by venture capital money and how fast can you build a monopoly, blitz scaling and hyper growth and all these buzzwords, it's incredibly hard to come up with a strategy or a roadmap and stick to it. You know, like Mike Tyson said, you know, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And I don't know about you, but we would often have roadmaps that would take 2 or 3 months to put together for the next 6 months. And then they'd be thrown out almost 6 weeks later.
Oh, yeah.
So what we can do is focus on how can I make this week really good? How can I make today really good? How can I make this morning really good? And over time, that really good morning, that really good week, or that really good month will compound, and you'll get much further than you would before. And what's more is that you can adjust as things change. And I think that would be a very good advantage and strategy in itself. And I found it to work very, very well for me, especially in Babylon. So yeah, that's what I'm interested in for the next few years.
Wow, sorry, that is such a beautiful piece of advice, you know?
That was a long answer to a quick-fire question.
No worries. I'm pretty sure that people will be able to implement it.
Yeah, if anyone wants to read more about that, read Atomic Habits by James Clear.
It's phenomenal. I love it. I love it. It is a book of my, I think, past year, and yeah. It changed so much in life. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very, very good book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think designers, having done atomic design, will definitely get the idea.
Yeah. And yeah, just in the past 3, maybe 4, maybe a few years, what habit has most improved your life?
Meditation has certainly helped, because it's a meta skill that improves everything, really. Makes you more mindful, makes you more self-aware, which makes you a better communicator, which makes you more patient. And in high growth companies that can often be very political, I think that's crucial. So I think patience meditation is an easy one. Yeah, I think in terms of design specifically, I would say, you know, UI design or more so visual design has never been my biggest strength. But something that helped me tremendously is to think quantity, not quality, to begin with. Another good analogy for that is there was a study done with a class making bowls or pottery or something like that. And there was two cohorts of students. There's two cohorts of students. And the first one was told, you're going to be graded on the best bowl that you make. The second one was graded on how many bowls they would make. And lo and behold, the best bowls came from those that created the most bowls, because they focused on just constantly iterating. Again, it comes back to that 1% improvement, right? Whereas those that focused on trying to get it right the first time wasn't as good in the end as those that just constantly improved. And I think that that's a lot to be said for visual design for myself. And again, you know, it comes back to the habits. So yeah, repetition is often the thing that can lead you to quality.
What is one thing that you wish you knew at the start of your journey as a product designer?
Yeah.
Maybe Babylon House even. Product designers.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenging one. There's so much I wish I knew. I would say to learn to ask better questions. That does come with experience, of course. But I think if you're deliberate about it and you've got that top of mind, then you can ask better questions. And I say that because at the start of a project, a really good question that as designers, we talk about a lot, but unfortunately, I don't think we ask, you know, as much as we should, is why are we doing this? What problem are we solving? How can we solve this problem by subtraction rather than adding features? Who's done this before? You know, what products is this like? If we come to a design challenge, and this would certainly go for more junior days, if come to a design challenge, what you're being asked to design has been done already. So go find that. Go find the product that you can just copy. Copy the flow. You can even copy the UI if it's, say, a checkout or something like that. And that it's just going to save everyone time, right? It's not about your artistic input, frankly. It's about solving the problem. And if you can solve it in a really quick way that just copies someone else, obviously be mindful of copyright and trademark and patents and all the rest. But it means that you can get a baseline measure and then you can improve from there. And you can improve that using the traditional design process. So yeah, I think if you ask better questions, everyone can have better conversations. You know, everyone can save face. You're never going to be in trouble for asking a good question or any question. You shouldn't anyway. If you do, you're probably in the wrong company. And just let people talk, and then you'll understand and be the person that stands back, be the woman or the man that stands back and makes people really think, because that's what questions do. But if you go in with wireframes based on very little information, you're going to start biasing people already. You're going to start directing people down a particular path when maybe you shouldn't have started that path in the first place.
Probably my last question would be, what is the most useful piece of feedback regarding team collaboration, team communication, maybe from your colleague you ever received?
Yeah, it was, I don't know about collaboration specifically, but yes, the most useful piece of feedback I ever got was from a great mentor of mine, Tom Harmon, who is now the design director at Monzo. And he was the one that told me, look, focus at first on quantity. When it comes to ideas and exploration, focus on quantity, not quality. And that was such an important thing for me to understand. And it was the thing that opened up being a better UI designer for me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You do have to follow with quality.
Yeah.
And all the rest, but getting over that blank white page, just think quantity. What are all the different ways I can do this? What are the crap ways I can do this? That's a good question. Because it breaks down that barrier in your head. Everything has to be perfect.
Listen to the first part of our conversation in the previous episode and subscribe not to miss the updates. Stay tuned.